Yeah, Monday edition, Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, as always, alongside the great producer Tiny Hands. Hunter Vaughn with me on your Monday, March 4th. And a couple of things before we dive in. Jesse Nelson, famously of Bullstream TV, is going to join us a bit later. I really asked him to join the show strictly so we could make fun of him, Hunter. I just want to make fun of him for a while.
I mean, it is one of my favorite things to do here at the office, is to make fun of Jesse Nelson.
Yeah, the last time we had him on was kind of an impromptu, what would we call that? It was the original beef breakdown, as you two were angry at each other that day.
I thought it was when we talked about like something else completely random, because he was at home, but I forgot that I yelled at him.
No, yeah. He was on a few weeks ago. It was very quick. He was only on for about 5 minutes, but nonetheless. Good to be with you on this Monday. I'm really having a case of the Mondays, though, today. I wasn't ready for the work week to begin when I woke up this morning. I delayed my alarm, I don't know, 8 times. I wasn't ready for Monday. It's good to be here. I wasn't ready to have a Monday. But nonetheless, lots to get into. Bucks are streaking. Badgers are spiraling. Packers are preparing for free agency. We're going to talk with Jesse about the biggest question you have for the Packers as they approach free agency, which technically opens a week from today as the legal tampering period next Monday, March 11th, with the ability to sign beginning next Wednesday, the 13th. Do we anticipate the Packers to make a move? Do we anticipate the Packers to make a big move? So we'll dive into that a little bit later with Jesse. But first, I want to talk Milwaukee Bucks, who listen to me. The Friday before the Timberwolves game out of the All-Star break, I gave you a bold claim. I was allowed this victory lap by Hunter Vaughn. This is the victory lap that I'm allowed. This is what I said prior to the Bucks coming out of the All-Star break, in which they are 5-0 since the All-Star break, and when I thought they would lose next. Here's me 2 weeks ago. But this is a team that's going to rattle off a nice winning streak out of the All-Star break. I don't think they'll lose again until March 4th. Book it. Mark it. You heard it here first. Today is March 4th. They play the Clippers tonight in Milwaukee. I think they're going to win. Yeah, I'm changing my mind. The streak continues. I'm not sticking to my guns. Now, if I stick to my guns, I look really good. And if they lose tonight, I look really good. I don't think they're going to lose tonight. And here's why. The Clippers are without my favorite player of all time. Russell Westbrook fractured his hand over the weekend. He's not playing tonight in Milwaukee. He's going to swing the game that much that the Bucks are going to win, even though Giannis is a game-time decision and Chris Middleton is out.
Well, Chris Middleton, I just assume he's always out. Yeah, I forget that he's on the roster. Why is Russell Westbrook your favorite player of all time? Of all the NBA players that have ever been.
You didn't know this about me?
Well, I feel like you've said it, but you say a lot of things, and I just kind of tune it out. So why Russ?
Just strictly, it's always been his just undeniable grit and hustle. I've never seen somebody try as hard as Russell Westbrook, and I very much appreciate that about him. Also, by the way, Hunter, on YouTube, it says we're Wildy and Tausch, so I don't know if you can work on that.
Great, but I'll work on it.
So I'm going to go ahead and say the Bucks win tonight. As I see David chiming in on YouTube, says stick to your guns, Strofe. I probably should. It'd make me look better. The thumbnail, Hunter, is what I'm referring to. I just think this team's figured it out, and I don't think they're ready to lose yet. I fully believe that this is a team that is finally maximizing their potential in the regular season, which they haven't done all year. That's why they fired a head coach midway through the season. That's why they went and took the swing on Doc Rivers, being that he was the best available head coach. And I thought they would figure it out coming out of the All-Star break, and they have 5-0. But I don't think they're done yet, which is awesome, right? It's awesome for Bucks fans. So I'm actually... I will take the credit for saying they're going to go 5-0 out of the All-Star break, but I'm taking away the credit I would take in saying I think they can go like 7-0. They've got a tough stretch coming up, so to go 5-0 leading in, or 6-0 or 7-0 leading into that stretch that involves a lot of really good teams, is impressive. And the Clippers are one of those really good teams within that stretch. As much as I joke about Russell Westbrook, swinging the result of this game, if Giannis plays tonight, I think they win. It's on your home floor. You're playing well. You're playing the best basketball you have all season. You're playing the best defense you have all season. I think this could be a really another nice notch in the belt. Like I felt like Minnesota was fresh out of the All-Star break. I thought that was a really impressive win. The way they handled Charlotte defensively, who, by the way, as I said last week, I know Charlotte is not a good NBA team, but to hold them to 26 points in one half is incredibly impressive no matter who you're playing. So I think this team is on a roll, and I am not going to stick to my guns like David requested in the YouTube chat. I think they win tonight, and I'm looking forward to watching this one. NBA TV, though, which is blacked out here, so we got to watch the normal Bally Sports feed. But if we're going to do national TV, can we actually do national TV? That's what's always bugged me about any NBA TV. Anyway, my rant is over. Hunter, you have something to say.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, how far do you think this goes? Like, we always talk about with this team now since probably, what, the 2017 season? Mm-hmm. We don't care about the regular season anymore. It's about the playoffs.
No, I'm with you.
So is this Eastern Conference Finals, or are you full all the way, this is a finals team?
It's a good question. I don't know yet. I think it's definitely an Eastern Conference Finals team, unless they run into the Pacers in the second round, which is very possible. But I do think this is a team that gets to the Eastern Conference Finals at minimum, and then, you know, they shake it up with Boston, and we see what happens. I think those are by far the two best teams in the Eastern Conference when they're playing their best basketball, which it's clear to me the Bucks are playing their best basketball as it stands right now. So, I mean, look, You don't trade for Damian Lillard to make the Eastern Conference Finals. You don't fire your coach midseason to just make the Eastern Conference Finals. You make these moves and you take these swings like John Horst, the general manager of the Bucks, has in order to win a championship or at least get there. And I don't know if I'm ready to say five games out of the All-Star break that this is a championship or bust team. At least they're not playing like that right now. But they're playing better. They're playing up to the expectation of they should be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. But to your point, Hunter, you're right. The regular season only matters a little bit. I don't want to see them fall from grace, go from the two seed, as they were right before the All-Star break, to the seven seed or the six seed entering the playoffs. I want them to be the two or the three seed. I want them to be at the top of the Eastern Conference and have the ability to kind of control their own destiny until the Eastern Conference Finals. So I would hope this is an Eastern Conference Finals at minimum team. But right now, I don't know that I feel comfortable saying, yeah, this is a team that's going to win the East. If the playoffs started today, I might say that, just given the way they've played the last 2 weeks. But I just feel like it's a little bold to say they're an NBA Finals team or bust. Although that is the expectation, by all means. And it should be. And it should be the expectation. Just to recap, their schedule coming up. Clippers, Warriors, Lakers, Clippers, Kings. That's a four-game road trip starting Wednesday at the Warriors, at the Lakers, at the Clippers, at the Kings. All in the state of California, oddly enough. All four of those teams. How fun is that? Then they return home for the Sixers. Suns go to the Celtics on March 20th. That's their next, what is that, eight games? So the stretch is tough. But the way they're playing, it should probably be like a 6-2 stretch or a 5-3 stretch, over 500 stretch. I think this is a good team. So we'll see. It's just it's such a wait and see period here in the NBA, right? I mean, you can sit here and analyze the fact that, yes, defensively they're much better. They are. Out of the All-Star break, they played much better defensively over the course of this five-game winning streak. Only one game, they've allowed over 100 points. And that was the win over the Timberwolves that right out of the break. Since then, they have not allowed a team to score 100 points. Now, keep in mind, who have they played in that stretch? Sixers without Joel, Hornets, Bulls. So, not good teams. I'm very curious what they do tonight. They win tonight? I might change my answer to your question.
You know, you mentioned that this is a wait-and-see period, and I feel like that's how it is for everyone in the NBA now. Like, once you get about a week and a half out of the All-Star break, yeah, like, you know who pretty much everybody in the NBA is, and we're all just kind of like, okay, let's see what happens in the playoffs. We're ready for the playoffs. Like, I almost feel like the NBA needs to shorten their season. They'll never do it because of the money. But, like,
correct,
you could start the playoffs right now, and we're getting, like, probably the same results that we'll get anyways. Like, we know who everybody is.
It'd be similar. Yeah, you're right. I think, you know, I will say the perk of the 82-game season, though, is the Bucks can do what they did, right? The Bucks can go through a streak and a slide, and you get that nice break in February, and you're allowed to kind of reset. And clearly it worked for the Bucks, right? I mean, it's something we all wondered, but I remember we were analyzing some of the national pundits and their analysis and critiques of the Bucks during the All-Star break. This team can't play defense. This team, you know, offensively hasn't been as consistent as they should be with two of the best scorers in the league in Dame and Giannis. And we're listening to all this commentary, and we're not saying it's incorrect, but also remember, you still got 25-30 games to play, right? You've still got the most important stretch of the regular season remaining coming out of the All-Star break. The Bucks are a team that's gone through a lot this year. I mentioned the coaching changes. We mentioned some of the injuries too, right? Chris Middleton hasn't been a huge piece of this puzzle. Doc Rivers only had 2 weeks to figure it out prior to the All-Star break. So it's not like they're going to hire Doc and voila, here we are, championship team. It takes time. Good things take time. And while obviously the window is only open for a certain period of time, right? 3 years with Dame and Giannis under contract. You want to maximize that with a title or two or three and become a dynasty. That's the goal of this organization, right? If you have one of the greatest players ever like you do in Giannis, the idea is you need to win championships in order to be viewed successful. That's just the precedent that's been set in American sports, and that's fine. But you need to give this team some time to figure it out, and it seems like they have, at least as of now. So I'm confident. I think this can be a championship team. I'm just not ready to appoint them one yet. But as it comes to this stretch that's coming up, I mentioned the West Coast road trip, this game tonight. You have the Celtics coming up in a couple of weeks. This will tell you, to your point, Hunter, who this team truly is. Because I think we have an idea. We have an idea that they have guys that can go unconscious offensively. They have improved defensively, but what is their identity on that side of the floor? I don't know that we truly have the answer to that yet, but I'm feeling much better than I was 2 weeks ago. I think everybody is. 2 weeks ago, I asked you where the panic meter was. You gave me an 8. They're 5-0 since the All-Star break. Where's the panic meter?
I'm all the way down to a 3.
Yeah.
And it's only because, you know, David brings up the Miami Heat as far as the playoffs go. Like,
it's funny, David.
It's Boston and Miami just always concern me. And I mean,
after last year, I don't blame you.
Well, and it's even like, I even think about my dad, who I've brought up before as a Bucks fan. He grew up, he was 11 years old when Kareem came here. And like, it was always Philadelphia in there too. Mm-hmm. But Boston was always the problem through the 80s, and now Miami's become the problem for the Bucks, and it's just always these same three teams. And because of those teams, that's why I can't go all the way down to like a 0 until I see them win in 6.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm with you on that. Now, if the playoffs started today, by the way, Hunter, they're in the play-in, but if Miami wins their first play-in game, it would be the 2-seed Milwaukee Bucks versus the 7-seed Miami Heat.
Which, like, of course it would be, because that's just how things go for Bucks fans. We're always going to run into Boston and Miami, and it's just going to be annoying.
What happened to the Pacers? For a team that was so good, you know, the in-season tournament, and a team that was just manhandling the Bucks, you know, in their season series, 5-1 in that series this year, they're the 8th seed. They're technically not on the outside looking in, but they are in the play-in tournament against the Bulls and the Hawks, who I don't put a lot of stock into as very good teams this year. But Eastern Conference is weird, man. I mean, only 2.5 games separate the 4 from the 8 seed in the Eastern Conference right now. So there's some parity in, you know, the 2 and 3 seed, Bucks and Cleveland, only a half game separates those two. 8.5, though, between the Celtics and the Bucks, who are in second place.
The Celtics are so good this year.
They're good.
But I think Indiana, like, I have a feeling that a lot of the guys outside of Tyrese Halliburton were just kind of playing above what they normally would.
I would agree.
And they've regressed to the mean. It's kind of like baseball. You get guys who just go hot for a month, and all of a sudden they fall off, and then the whole team falls off because you don't have that guy carrying you.
Yep.
And Tyrese Halliburton just can't do it himself. And I think that's kind of the problem now for them.
We will see. Speaking of panic, I have note 3 written as Badgers panic as they fall again on Saturday to Illinois at the Kohl Center. I was there, man. It was a really cool environment. Howard Moore honored before the game and at halftime, with the basketball offices being renamed the Howard Moore Family Basketball Offices. He was there for the first time since his tragic accident back in 2019. It was an amazing environment. Not a dry eye in the house. Super emotional. Gave me goosebumps galore prior to the game. Badgers come out with an inspired start. They look really good in the first half. And ultimately, they just cannot hang in there with Illinois, who was at the point ranked number 13 in the country. I know the AP poll just came out, so let me take a look where they are. This week, they are... this is the old poll. We were doing research prior to the show, Hunter, as we were trying to figure out if this is the first week in which the Badgers had not gotten at least one vote. And to my research, the answer is yes. This is the first week where the Badgers have not received one vote in the AP poll. Illinois, by the way, up to number 12 this week in the AP poll. They were number 13 at the time, so your graphic was actually technically correct. But you're right. Now that you changed it to number 12, they are number 12 now.
Well, you know, we're all about journalistic integrity here, being factually correct.
It would still be number 13, though.
Yeah, but now they're number 12, so I just wanted to make the update.
I don't give a damn. 91-83, the final. And again, look, I mean, it's the same issues this team has had. Defensively, they can't stop a nosebleed. They allow 91 points in the Big Ten. That is not Badgers basketball. Shout out to Marcus Damask from Illinois, the transfer from Southern Illinois, who scored 31 points, the Waupun native. I remember in 2019, I was at the Kohl Center, and I watched Marcus Damask and Denmark high school season in the state semifinal. Denmark, my alma mater. I was calling that game for the newspaper up in Denmark, and Damask went bananas. I think he had 27, and Denmark couldn't find a way to slow him down. He was Mr. Basketball that year here in the state of Wisconsin. He goes to Southern Illinois for a few years, now transfers to Illinois, and he is terrific, man. Hitting threes, making stuff happen inside, converting his free throws. He had a really, really nice game for the Illini, the Madison area native, so big ups to him, but what the hell's going on with Bucky? They've lost now 7 of 9. They are in a complete free fall. I just mentioned this is the first week all year they haven't received at least one vote in the AP poll. It's a team that is replicating what they did a year ago. They started the season solidly, and unlike this year, it was more up and down in Big Ten play, right? It was win, lose, win, lose, 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 win, lose, win, lose, right? This year, it was more win, 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 lose, win, 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 lose, 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 win, lose, 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 win, lose, lose, right? I mean, it's just a team that has been in complete free fall since the calendar flip from January to February. Defensively, they have not improved. I mean, that is evident. And don't get me wrong, Illinois is a really good team. They're a team that could make a nice run coming up later in the month. But I didn't expect the Badgers to just completely break down, but maybe I should have, because it's a team that has consistently done that down the stretch here. Only two regular season games remain. They host Rutgers in the Kohl Center finale on Thursday, and then they go to Purdue on Saturday, I believe it is. Maybe Sunday. This weekend they go to Purdue to wrap up the regular season, and next week is Big Ten tournament play. They're still in the mix for a top four seed, but I imagine that's incredibly unlikely.
You know, I keep thinking back to last year. We went to the team's media day.
Yeah.
And Greg Gard said, because, you know, Gard has all of his Gardisms.
He does.
And one of the things he said about Stephen Crowell that keeps popping out to me now, he was told him, you're either the bug or the windshield.
Yeah.
And he needs to be more physical. And he still is the bug and not the windshield. Like, the guy just cannot play physically. And that's usually when Wisconsin's been at its best. They've got a big that's just going to beat you up inside,
mm-hmm.
and dominate on the boards. And it's like Stephen Crowell's, I hate to say it, but it's almost like he's afraid to mix it up down there.
Yeah.
And you can't win that way.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, obviously, very early foul trouble for him on Saturday. He didn't play much. I think he got, 14 minutes total. The other starter that played the least was A.J. Stewart. He doubled his minutes. He had 29. So Crowell just really didn't have the opportunity to be on the floor, right? I mean, you look at John Blackwell, he played 24 minutes off the bench. Marcus Silver played 6 minutes, which I imagine is a season high. So it brings up the question yet again. And I've mentioned many times I am not for this. I will not advocate for this. But the crowd that is very loud and has some pretty fair points at this point, and that would be the fire guard crowd, right? I think it's a he has been the most controversial head coach at Wisconsin in the last year and a half. You know, prior to that, obviously it was Paul Christ, who Chris McIntosh, the athletic director at the University of Wisconsin, made the switch in men's hockey. He makes two really good hires. You have to wonder how hot the seat is for Greg Gard. Again, I make the case you've seen results from him in the McIntosh era. So I think the leash is a little bit longer, and I think the seat is a little bit cooler because of that. But this free fall is getting to the point of inexcusable. I didn't expect them to win on Saturday. As I said, I think Illinois is a really good team. But I expected them to make it a little bit more of a fight down the stretch in the second half. And it just never really felt that way. They had opportunities, and they did make it close, I think, with about 5 minutes left. But it just never felt like the Badgers were going to win that game on Saturday. Thursday's a big one, I think, when it comes to the conversation around Greg Gard. You're at home against a team that smoked you a couple weeks ago. You went on the road to Rutgers, and it was the worst game they played all year. I would legitimately say that the loss at Rutgers was the worst game they played all year. You have to respond with a win on Thursday. It's senior night for Tyler Wahl. Again, his second year in a row for senior night, by the way, because last year they honored him, and then he made anyway. But you have to make a point on Saturday, or excuse me, on Thursday against Rutgers. You have to win that game. You have to stop the free fall. And then on Sunday morning, you go to Purdue, number two in the country, or number three this week in the country. And I just don't anticipate the Badgers rolling in to West Lafayette and winning. Especially to your point, Hunter, with the way Stephen Crowell's played, probably means Zach Edey is going to play well. Especially if Crowell gets into foul trouble and only plays 14 minutes. It's going to be a Zach Edey game. I like Marcus Silver. I like the fact he's getting some opportunity off the bench for the Badgers all of a sudden, really in place of Carter Gilmore. But I don't anticipate him slowing Zach Edey down. So it's a huge game. I mean, both of these are huge games. And you're only a half game back of that fourth seed in the Big Ten. So a win Thursday also really helps your pursuit of that fourth seed. You get a double bye if you get the fourth seed. You're automatically one of the last eight teams remaining in the Big Ten tournament. It's a really big game. And then obviously Sunday is what Sunday is. If you go in there and win, then all of a sudden, whoa, Badgers are back. Greg Gard's safe. It's a tough argument right now.
This is almost starting to feel the same way, though, when Paul Christ was coming to an end. The fan base feels a little apathetic. Yep. Obviously, the people that are pissed, so they're making it known. But as soon as your fan base gets apathetic, you've really kind of lost them, and you can't have that happen when you're trying to compete in what will be an even better Big Ten conference next year with having all of the West Coast teams coming in. So I don't like saying somebody needs to be fired, but that's the only thing you can really change up with this, because Gard's not going to switch to like a fast-paced offense or something to make it more exciting in the Kohl Center. He's not going to go to one and done guys. I don't see those things happening. Mm-mm. So then the next option is you got to bring in somebody that's going to maybe do that to just, and I don't think that's the main issue, but I'm just saying, like, you've got to change up what's happening around the program. Because this is multiple years in a row now of the same thing happening.
Yeah, I would agree. And I want to get your take on Tyler Kolek in a second from Marquette, who's out for the remainder of the regular season. They're a good team. They're going to have a high seed. Marquette is. So I imagine they're fine, but we'll get your take on that in just a second, Hunter. It's the T-shirt curse, I would argue. I wore my Tyler Kolek T-shirt on Friday. Oh,
I didn't even think about that.
And he has not played a game since I've acquired that T-shirt, so that's bad.
Oh, we might have to look up how to break a curse, maybe get a witch involved or something to break that. I'm not worried about Marquette. I'm more worried about the fact that it might be the flu or something that's spreading through the locker room right now for them.
Injury, isn't it?
Well, Oso Iguodaro didn't go to Creighton either,
right?
Because he was sick.
Okay.
So I'm more worried about this idea of, okay, maybe the next couple of weeks there's going to be one or two guys who are just all sick. Tyler Kolek will play come the NCAA tournament. I don't think we're going to see him at Madison Square Garden for the Big East. Like, I think he sits that long because he understands that it doesn't matter if he wins another Big East tournament title.
Right.
What matters is they make a run to the Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, or what I think they're capable of, a Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be ready to go for that. That gives him 2 weeks off. I think he should be okay. I am happy, though, with the team, how they played. They don't have their two best players. They played well on the road.
Yeah.
But, again, I don't care about the regular season anymore. I don't care about the Big East tournament. I care about the NCAA tournament and them not losing to Michigan State in the second round when they shouldn't lose.
When's the last time they made it to the second weekend? 2013?
I think so.
Which is obviously the Sweet 16 is that second weekend? Okay. Interesting. Yeah, look, I just think it's really funny how much has changed in the last 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, really, I guess it would be, because I'm thinking, you know, at one point we were thinking, all right, Badgers are number 6 in the country. Marquette was at that point, I think, like number 8 or number 9. I think they were both single digit in the AP poll. I figured, you know, this is a year where it's realistic that Marquette and Wisconsin are both in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, right? Like, I really had high hopes for what was going to happen for Marquette and Wisconsin. Now it's looking like, oh boy, Wisconsin might not make it to the second weekend. They might not even make it to the second round. When it comes to Marquette, you're right. Like, if this oblique injury is more serious than we anticipate, I don't love their chances, especially the heater that Tyler Kolek's been on the last few weeks. 18 assists and a win over DePaul. I mean, I don't know how much stock you put into it because it's DePaul, but
it's still impressive. Like, the level of play for that whole team, for them to make that many shots off of his passes, is still, like, impressive. So that's, I mean, of course, I'm going to try and hype it up. Is Jesse Nelson ever going to come in?
Well, that's why I was signaling you to go grab him, but yeah, I don't think you were picking up on that.
I thought you were pointing at him to bring him in.
No, I don't know what he was doing, but I just gave him a thumbs up, and now he's still sitting at his desk.
So okay, we'll go get him.
We'll all find out together. But I do want to point out, so we write these titles on the right side of the screen if you're watching on the video side. Mine today says Streaking Bucks Badgers Panic Monday. Jesse Nelson, what Stroff learned, which is always our last one. Title Monday. I'm having a serious case of the Mondays, as I mentioned off the top. I didn't know what to write for my fourth square, so I just wrote the day of the week. I think I've done that before, but I just figured, you know, we're all kind of having the Monday sillies, so I just figured Monday was a good word to just write in there. So that's
Mondays, am I right?
Mondays, am I right? Absolutely. As Jesse Nelson strolls into the Everlight Solar studio, plugging in his headphones and going to take a seat alongside me, Jesse Nelson, very famously of Bullstream TV, fresh off the state championships. I tuned in for like one moment and I saw something insane happen, and Jesse had a dynamite drop, and we don't have the footage, but I am going to ask him about it. So Jesse, welcome back. Hope you had a lovely time up in Ashwaubenon.
It was one of my favorite weekends. Am I on? Is this working?
You are now, yeah.
Good. Yeah, one of my favorite weekends of the year, every single year. Never disappoints. Might be my favorite event that I get to be part of in the 365, or in this case, 366-day calendar.
You just wanted to point out that it was a leap year.
It did. God. Shout out to Becca's friend, Heather, leap day baby.
How old is she technically?
8.
Okay. Did you celebrate?
We celebrate. Of course we celebrated.
Well, you were really busy this weekend. I figured maybe.
Yeah, I mean, like, they celebrated a lot more than I did, but did I pop in and make an appearance at some point? Yeah.
It's fair. It's fair.
What'd you see on Bullstream TV?
So I tuned in right. It was early. It was early Sunday morning.
Breakfast and bowling, I tried to brand it as this year for those that wanted to join the singles competition. Get started at 8:30 a.m.
Yeah, that's fair. I am curious, though. Okay, so it was girls bowling. It was a state championship. A girl had one pin left, and she missed it to tie.
Oh, this was the team competition.
Yes.
This was the team. Definitely, I think it is actually the closest championship match we have ever called in the 10 years that I've been part of the high school state championships on Bullstream
TV.
You've
been doing this 10 years.
10 years. This was the 10-year anniversary.
So you're a savvy vet.
Oh yeah.
Okay, interesting.
So, yes, it was Merrill and Waukesha North in the
exactly
Division
right.
II Girls Championship.
Look at this guy.
And anchor bowler comes up for Waukesha. How much do I have to explain for it? Probably everything.
No.
So in high school
anchor
bowling,
means you're last.
It's 2-game total pin count, you have a lineup. So it's called the Baker format. So it's a lineup. So you bowl the first frame and the sixth frame. The second person bowls 2 and 7.
Okay.
So on. So the person who's in the 5 and 10 position is referred to as the anchor bowler because they anchor it down with the 10th frame.
Yep,
so it should be your best, most dependable, most reliable bowler.
All I know is she missed the pin to tie.
So anchor bowler for Waukesha North steps up. Anchor bowler for Merrill trying to close it out and win a champion. They can clinch, and they're up first going. So they can clinch the championship. They throw a strike and then a 7 count. And so after the 7 count, everybody's doing the math, trying to figure out how it all works out. They ended up with a 404. And then everybody on the Waukesha North team is like, dang, if we get 20 pins here, we're going to end up with a 404. Then we're going to go to a two-frame roll-off for a state championship.
Roll-off.
Would have been amazing.
Roll-off.
So the best bowler on the Waukesha North team comes up, throws a strike, throws a 9 count, leaves a single pin across the lane. It's like, okay. All I got to do is knock that pin down. It's 404, 403. We're tied. We're going to the roll-off. Couldn't get it. Pressure got to her.
Yeah, so you were not doing play-by-play. It was. Remind me who the panel was.
Yeah, so we had a 3-person booth yesterday. So the our anchor of Bowl Stream TV, the guy who runs the whole thing, Emil Williams Jr., great guy. Want you to meet him someday. He was asking about you yesterday.
No, he wasn't.
Well, I told him who you were. And
why?
Then, he wants to have his own version of Mr. Irrelevant with a better title.
Okay.
Emil wants to do his own show on YouTube. So we were talking about how you do everything. So he knows who you are now.
Wow. Hello, Emil.
So
I'd like to point out how you do everything. Like you do anything.
Every time I come on the show, I get yelled at by him.
He's yelling at me this time.
Well, and then the thumbnail was wrong because it was Wildy and Tausch.
I didn't even do that. Anyway.
You most certainly did.
Did not.
Don't deny it.
Did not.
Okay, continue. So, anyway. So
Emil Williams Jr. is the guy who runs Bowlstream TV, so he's kind of holding it all down as one of the primary voices of the broadcast. Yeah, it's usually his show.
Yep.
When I come in for the Wisconsin State Championships, he usually yields to me in many cases, but he's still the one
who kind of...
He's like our Kurt Menefee, essentially, and then I guess that makes me Kevin Burkhart. And yesterday, we were joined by Gigi Mason,
Gigi.
She's awesome.
She's a pro bowler.
You should have her on Mr. Irrelevant also. Gigi Mason is a pro bowler.
I know nothing about bowling.
Perfect.
I tuned in to watch you.
So she's on the women's PBA tour, the PWBA, Professional Women's Bowling Association.
Got it. Okay.
So she's amazing. She's young. She resonates great with fans. She has her own YouTube channel. Like, she's incredible. So that was our booth yesterday.
Okay, very nice. Now, when I tuned in, Jesse, Emil was explaining the scenario. Gigi chimes in and is like, oh, wow, that's heartbreaking. And then you just come in and go, oh, wow. That's all you said. You didn't say anything else.
Well, it's tough.
You just said, oh, wow. And you didn't say anything else. And there was like 10 seconds of silence.
Well, here's the thing.
And I X'd out. I gave up.
So picture this. I should see if I have a picture I could share with Hunter. I think I do. So if you can get this up on the stream, that's great. If not, don't worry about it. But I'm going to try and explain what was happening.
I don't know how much of our goal today was to talk bowling, but here we are.
So when we're in the center at the Ashwaubenon Bowling, like, you're surrounded by people. There's parents and friends and additional family member and bowlers from the other teams who want to see how this thing plays out.
Yeah,
so there is this huge pit. I hope a fire marshal isn't there. It goes 7, 8, 9 people deep. And you're just surrounded by all of these fans. And many of them are related to the participants in the match. So all of the commentary, it's not like we're in the booth, like up in the sky. It's not like we're remotely calling this game. We're not isolated. We're right there with everybody. You ever call a high school baseball game and it's like everyone in attendance can hear exactly what you're saying, including the umpire? If you say, I don't know about that call, looked a little low. Like, they can turn around and say to you, like, that wasn't low, it was good. And they think you're mocking them. I've had that happen. So with Bowlstream TV, we're right in the heart of this whole thing. So you can't, in a pressure-packed moment like that, the bowlers on the approach can hear what you're saying.
So
you don't want to talk to when it's one pin is going to make or break the match. You want to set the stage for the fans watching on the stream, but simultaneously, you don't want to say anything so loud so that you're in the head of the bowler who's on the approach and you're actually influencing what's happening in the biggest stage and the biggest moment of their careers.
So I have follow-ups. Number one, do you just embrace the fact that this is the nerdiest thing you do every year?
I don't think it is the nerdiest thing I do.
What's the nerdiest thing you do?
Oh.
This has to be it.
Nerd.
Full-blown bowling mode.
Yeah, you're right, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a niche audience.
It certainly is.
But it's a passionate
audience. But you're afraid of offending said passionate audience.
We have had over 9,000 views between the two different sessions that we had yesterday on the YouTube channel. So say what you will about the bowling broadcast, mock Bowlstream TV, all you will.
Bowlstream TV.
I think Mr. Irrelevant would be glad to be featured on Bowlstream TV.
I would be glad. I would do it if I was asked. But I just don't know nothing. But I tuned in for a split second, and all I heard you say was, oh, wow. And it was...
Because she's on the approach about to shoot her shot here.
No, the shot was already taken. She missed. It was over.
I mean, yeah, well, that's the other thing.
And then you just go, oh, wow.
What do you say in a moment
that?
I don't know.
This is a high school senior
who just collapsed in the biggest moment of her athletic career, most likely.
So we have the picture on the stream of, wow.
Check that out.
Oh, wow.
I've spent a lot of time.
Oh, wow, you might say. Yeah.
I've spent a lot of time in that bowling alley. I grew up not far from there.
It still looks the same.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But great center. Ryan Orvis, Matt Orvis.
Same carpet.
They're amazing. One of the most accommodating places we go every year, or every tournament. We're there every, like, 3 years.
Oh, so you rotate?
Yeah, some years it's in Green Bay, some years it's in Wausau, undisclosed location next year, but I got tipped off that it might be a little bit more of a home game potentially for us next year, so stay tuned.
No, I'm going to break the news. I got a guess, though. What are the bowling alleys around here? Wanabowl and Wanakee?
Not Wanabowl and Wanakee, as far as they actually have not determined where they're going to do it, so there is no news to break.
Okay.
But there are talks, and one of the locations being considered is Madison, Wisconsin.
Wow. Lovely. They're just cool.
Groundhog Day last time I was on here. You didn't want to come to Groundhog Day, even though you've said each of the last 2 years, I think I'll come in the morning. Yeah, okay. Where were you? So if the high school bowling...
Punxsutawney Phil was right, by the way. Or excuse me, Jimmy the Groundhog.
Jimmy
was
the
right.
Groundhog doesn't miss. Punxsutawney Phil, phony. If you... Will you commit right now, Alex Strofe?
Yeah.
Next year, 2025, if the Wisconsin High School Bowling State Championships are held in Madison, Wisconsin, will you attend the championships on Sunday?
Do I get the opportunity to be the sideline reporter?
I cannot speak officially to that. Emil Williams Jr. is the proprietor of Bowlstream TV.
Okay. You work on that, and I'll give you a
yes. We don't really need a sideline reporter. Like I said, with the picture, we're right in the horde of all the people. They're all right there. They're all surrounding us. Like, if we want to say, hey, Joe, you want to hop on here and talk about what shot was that you just woofed on? Joe can come right over and talk to us. We don't have to do anything. Like, there's no sideline reporter necessary.
All right. I disagree. I think sideline reporter can always up your
game. You watched 1 minute of our broadcast yesterday and heard me say, oh, wow.
Yeah, and I'd get better analysis than that.
We were on for 6 hours. You want me to say
that
something
non-stop? That was like hour one, hour two. It was still fresh, and you just said, oh, wow.
Jesse, since you're wearing some Packers stuff and we're literally losing viewers during this right now, what do you think about the Packers free agency?
Oh!
What we're actually going to do is we've each prepared one question.
Mm-hmm.
We have for Packers free agency.
Mm-hmm.
The largest question, as we are 1 week away from the legal tampering period next Monday in NFL free agency. Jesse Nelson, what's your biggest question for the Green Bay Packers as we enter NFL free agency?
How much is the running back position worth?
Oh, so that's not even Packers related. It's just overall.
Well, it is Packers related with A.J. Dillon, an unrestricted free agent, and Aaron Jones right there as well. As we get into the NFL draft, if they look to replace A.J. Dillon and eventually replace Aaron Jones as running backs, or if they believe that those two or at least one of them are worthy of a larger contract. Mm-hmm. Me personally, as much as Aaron Jones is a dynamic player, as much as A.J. Dillon is a fan favorite and serves his role on the Packers offense, I think running back is the most replaceable position in football.
I would agree.
And there is no reason that a running back should ever get a larger deal than a rookie contract. And I'm sorry to all the running backs out there. That's just the way it is. You got to change something with the Players Association to get paid more upfront as rookies, because wide receivers perform and have contracts that come their way as highest paid players. Quarterbacks, obviously, get all the money. Defensive backs, offensive linemen. There's plenty of money to go around for pass rushers. everybody can earn a contract on a second and third deal in the NFL, running backs are going the opposite way. You've had James White on this show. You've had Melvin Gordon on this show. And that's kind of where it started with players who have not been able to get paid what they feel they deserve. And what has that led for some of those players? For Melvin Gordon, he's never been the same since that holdout with the Chargers. And when he's had opportunities, he has, unfortunately, been unable to take advantage of them. So what is the running back position worth to Brian Gutekunst? What's it worth to Matt LaFleur? What's it worth to Jordan Love? What's he advocating for in some of those meetings? I'm assuming his opinion matters when he's talking with those decision makers.
You would help, yeah.
Because to me, there's no way even though he's the mayor of Door County, there's no way I'm signing A.J. Dillon for anything more than a very small contract.
And that might
be what he's worth. Yeah. But as far as continuity across the league, we've seen the trend is you don't pay running backs. And I hope the Packers don't, because they'll have plenty of players in the coming years that'll earn larger contracts that are more important than that position.
Yeah, I'm excited to see when they draft a running back this year, because I think it's kind of a no-brainer, right? You bring in a back along with Emmanuel Wilson and Aaron Jones to camp. They're not going to sign him in free agency. A.J. Dillon is 25 years old in free agency. Now, listen to some of these names. I mean, it is going to be really, really strange to see what kind of money these following names garner in free agency. A.J. Dillon, J.K. Dobbins, Damian Harris, some of the smaller names. But then you go up to DeAndre Swift, Devin Singletary, Alexander Mattison, Austin Eckler, Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and Derrick Henry at 30 years old. What kind of money do those guys get? Because I don't know. I would imagine not a lot, or less than they anticipate. And I think some of these guys could be on the market as we get into training camp come July.
Yeah, let's talk about Josh Jacobs, because I think he has the potential. He's still in the wheelhouse where he has years in front of him.
Yep.
He has earned 26, a big contract. He's a great running back for the Las Vegas Raiders. I wouldn't pay him.
I wouldn't either.
And he's really good. But you don't need to pay that position when you can bring in guys like, look back 10, 15 years, Ryan Grant, Brandon Jackson helped the Packers win a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't need a outstanding running back. The running back serves, I hope running backs aren't watching or listening, because they're going to get after me on this. Because running back, you run through the gaps, you block for the quarterback. That's your job. You can teach that to pretty much anybody on a rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's super talented players that are difference makers in an offense. Christian McCaffrey specifically stands out because he's very versatile. There are other running backs. Austin Eckler, versatile in the passing game also. So that's why, to Matt LaFleur, I wonder what the value is in Aaron Jones. A.J. Dillon isn't that passing threat out of the backfield. Aaron Jones has become that, and I wonder if that's a position the Packers will continue to value and want to lock in for a couple more years, or if they're going to draft somebody in the second, third, fourth round and say, you're our guy, just like Aaron Jones was the first time around.
Yeah, I like that. And I agree with Joseph on YouTube, who says, wow, Jesse sounds knowledgeable here compared to Wildy and Tausch, where those two clowns tease him mercilessly.
Thanks, Joseph. I appreciate that. And they're usually, I guess I'm the clown around. It all depends on the company you keep. When I'm sitting next to Mr. Irrelevant, I feel like I'm pretty knowledgeable. When I'm sitting next to Packers Hall of Famer and three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, I'm just the dude who does the bowling championships once a year. I get it.
It's true. It's true.
The bar is a lot lower.
Yeah,
here.
I was about to say, IQ bar is not high on this show. I mean, it's me and Hunter, so IQ bar is not high. My big question going in the free agency for the Packers is, how do you rebuild the safety position? I think it's the obvious one, but I'm incredibly intrigued to see what that means in free agency, right? Because I don't think you're drafting six safeties. I don't think that's going to happen. Nor do I think they're taking a big swing at a guy like Antoine Winfield. I just don't know that that's in the wheelhouse. Is this a low risk, high reward offseason for Goody, filling that room with guys we don't know, right? Is it Jonathan Owens-esque signings across the board and then a couple of draft picks? Is it several draft picks and maybe one big swing in free agency? Or is it just a bunch of dudes I've never heard of to fill that room? You only have Benny Sapp and Anthony Johnson Jr. under contract in that room for next year. You have to rebuild it. Goody has acknowledged he needs to rebuild it. How do they attack that beginning next week when free agency opens? That's my big question for Goody and the Packers.
That's a good question. I always think, as fans, when you're watching the Packers, the NFL, the Badgers, how you measure great defensive players is difficult. Because oftentimes when you look at some of the best corners in the league, like Darrelle Revis, had one year where he had a ton of interceptions. Beyond that, oftentimes the best corners in the league don't have very great stats because the other team just says, I'm not throwing at that guy.
Right.
Like so it's very difficult, unlike wide receivers, when you say, that guy had a great year. He had 15 touchdowns and 1,000 yards receiving. Like, it was a fantastic year. When you have a great corner, a great safety, a lot of times it looks like nothing in the box score. And you have to rely on, you know, pretty much the words of the defensive coordinator and the head coach to share with you what the value of that player is. So I'm really fascinated to see, like, Darnell Savage. Does Jeff Hafley believe that he can hone his craft into becoming the great safety, the first round pick that he was intended to be?
I think he'll be back after hearing what Rob Domofsky said on the show you missed last week. I don't know if you caught that.
I did miss it, yeah, unfortunately.
Bob was dropping bombs on your show.
So I heard.
Yeah, and one of them was essentially he does not anticipate any negotiation. Oh, we have the video. Look at us being prepared. Here's what Rob Domofsky said about Darnell Savage, Jesse, because it is very interesting. It doesn't completely rule out the possibility of a return, but it sounds incredibly unlikely. Here's Rob Domofsky and Wilde and Tausch last week.
They are clearly going to be starting over at the safety spot. You know, there's no question about that. And as it would pertain to Darnell Savage, I know that his agent, Seth Katz, met with the Packers, what was today? They met with them yesterday. And I have not talked to either party since then, but my assumption would be that Russ Ball would have told Seth, said, hey, you know what, we're going to move on. Good luck to you in free agency. There's going to be somebody that pays Darnell Savage $7.5-8 million a year. It won't be the Packers, though.
You can hear very faintly in the background Tausch saying sound graph after Rob Domofsky dropped out.
Of course he was. His thing.
That is his thing.
Those clowns.
Those clowns indeed. So it's unlikely he's back. But you're right. I imagine he will get a decent deal on the open market. It's because I feel like that position is not that sexy in free agency this year, right? Like, you have proven names like Eddie Jackson and Kevin Byard and Micah Hyde, but those guys are all in their 30s. When it comes to a guy like Darnell Savage, he's a first-round pick, to your point. Can he evolve into a top-tier safety? I don't know. I don't know the answer. After this year, I would probably guess no. But I don't think it's impossible either.
So just like yesterday at the high school bowling state championships, what the Packers are faced with defensively is they have a 7-10 split between whether they want to bring back Darnell Savage and keep the status quo, or if they want to try and go for the gold and maybe draft somebody or try to strike gold in free agency. You can take the conservative play and just say, let's keep it on the tracks with what we've got, 1 year, 2 year deal, Darnell Savage, let's go, boom, take out the 10 pin, call it an open frame and move on to the next thing. Or
I'm not following.
You can try and take a little riskier decision, and you might throw it in, end up throwing it in the gutter and totally miss both pins. But if you can knock out that 7-10 split, it's an incredible shot. And Goody has been known to make some incredible shots.
Ooh.
Is there a position that would be as surprising as hitting a 7-10 split for them to go after? Like, do they try to get Tyron Smith? Former Cowboys tackle, probably not going to be back. Like, but do they try and go a one-year deal with somebody like that and just be like, you know what, let's get a couple of those type of guys and see what sort of run we can make here this year?
My guess would be no, unless they take a swing at, like, center. But I think that's unlikely. I think they're happy with their tackles, Rashid Walker and Zach Tom. But I don't know. I mean, maybe.
So we talked yesterday. There's a freshman bowler. I'm going to keep doing this, but it's going to work. Trust me.
I regret having you on the show. Continue.
It's a day after the championship. I thought that's all we were talking about. There was a freshman bowler a couple of years ago, made it to the championship of the singles competition. He never got back to the final five in the next several years
to come.
Qualifying is hard. Getting to the final five, getting to the final two in any sport is hard. And you are faced with unexpected challenges. You may wake up just feeling not yourself on the day of the most important competition. Whatever the case may be, with the Packers looking at the chance for a championship this year, I think my philosophy as a general manager is you always take every approach you possibly can to put your team in a position to win a championship if you have the ability to do so right now. So if that means spending a little extra money while Jordan Love is still not well, unless he is on his deal by the time we get to the season, which he may be if they restructure.
Mm-hmm.
But with wide receivers that are on rookie deals primarily, with tight ends that are on rookie deals primarily, with a rather affordable defense, all things considered, spend a little extra money on that superstar this year rather than the draft and develop approach, because the Packers were doggone close to playing in the NFC Championship game last year. And if you think that they can replicate the late season success that they had in 2024, then you should spend a little extra money, put yourself in contention to win a championship, because there's no guarantee that building this thing toward 26 is the right way to go. Do it now, because you don't know what tomorrow holds.
I like that take. I'm with you, right? If you view it as the championship window is open, which I think, delusional or not, that's where Packers fans believe right now, and I'm with you on it, you got to take the swings now. But the safety position scares me. And also, you lost me in that bowling analogy a little bit, but it's fine.
Because the dude never made it back to the champ. It was a pretty
straightforward. All he said was take your chance when you have your chance.
It was a pretty straightforward analogy, I thought.
I don't know that we needed an analogy in order for you to say, hey, you're good now. Go for it. Go for it, pal.
We didn't.
Take advantage of your opportunity when you have it, because you don't know if, like, what if Caleb Williams is what we think he's going to be? And what if the Packers never win an NFC North division title over the next 10 years?
I think the NFC North is going to be the best division in football next year. I've come to that conclusion.
How can you say that before free agency even hits?
I think Kirk is back in Minnesota. I think Caleb Williams is the Bears quarterback.
Like, all the indications on Kirk Cousins are that he's not going to be back in Minnesota. Everything is like,
that's all the indications.
He's posting videos that he's working out to up his value so that he can go to a team that's in contention. Minnesota's going to be in a rebuild. They're already halfway there.
Who's in contention that needs a quarterback?
Atlanta.
Atlanta's not in contention. They have a fine offense. They should go draft, though.
Atlanta is 100% in contention. That offense, what, a year or two ago was all first-round picks?
Oh, they have the setup. Don't get me wrong.
That
Drake
division,
London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan. Right?
They're a quarterback away.
Yeah, that division sucks. If they get Justin Fields or Kirk Cousins on the Atlanta Falcons offense, that team should win 12 games next year.
And is he the only quarterback that's worthwhile on the market right now? Right,
like Justin Fields, well, Georgia
guy. You could trade for him. That's true.
Some might say Dak might be out there.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, there's rumors he might be kind of on the trade market, but it's not like
that's not happening.
Cowboys got some weird stuff going on.
Yeah, it's a whole mess. So he may force his way out.
Wow,
how about this?
I saw his new haircut. Look good. Did you see Dak's new haircut?
Yeah, see, it's new haircut, new team. Like,
wow. Okay. Yeah,
new year, new me.
Just like Kirk Cousins is posting film, Dak Prescott posting his haircuts.
Here's a name for you.
Uh oh,
Russell Wilson.
In Atlanta, that would be interesting. I would like that.
A guy that's got a year or two left that can still play at a high level, that's been to a Super Bowl, multiple Super Bowls before.
Just hasn't played at a high level.
A veteran leader that team hasn't had at the quarterback spot since Matt Ryan left a few years ago.
Yeah, it's interesting. We will see. 1 week away from free agency. I can't wait, man. I just want football. I'm sick of the offseason already. But anyway.
You can watch Chris Orr and the Birmingham Stallions. Come on.
When does the UFL start?
March 30th kickoff.
So we still got a few weeks. We still got a few weeks. All right, Jesse. I hope you got some sleep this weekend.
I need some more, but we'll be good. All right, one of the best weekends of the year.
It's way past your time.
I didn't even get to break
office.
Down the huge Sheboygan Sun Prairie battle in the girls' final.
Turn off his mic, please. Jesse Nelson. You can get him on Twitter @_JesseNelson. You hear him on Wilde and Tausch weekdays from 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. He just dramatically slid out of the shot, like reverse Collinsworth that. I mentioned Wanna Bowl. Wanna Bowl is one of the Savory 16 entries in our Badger Club Mr. Relevant Burger Bracket. We have a couple of finals. We have a bunch of polls in the field. We will have your enticing eight come Wednesday at this time. Hunter, could you give me the Savory 16 bracket on the screen, please, for the Badger Club Burger Bracket? Tipsy Cow, Sun Prairie, Paradise Lounge, 1855 Saloon Grill, Aaron Snug. That's your Seymour region, the four teams remaining there. Wanna Bowl in Wanakee, Deeks and Stoughton, Monks and Sun Prairie, Brass Ring in the Hamburg Division, Muska Lounge, Tipsy Cow Downtown, Village Green, and Byrock in the St. Louis region. In the Canton Division, Deluxe, Ope House Pub in Barneveld, 107 State, and Madison's. We have two entries moving on, and they are Tipsy Cow Downtown tops Muska Lounge in the Savory 16, punching Tipsy Cow Downtown's first ever ticket to the enticing eight. Wanna Bowl maybe the future home of the state championships, I'm hearing?
Maybe.
What a bowl onto the enticing eight, topping Deeks and Stoughton, a place I enjoy both of those places. I mentioned last week that was a really tough one for me. I did not vote.
It's probably best for you to abstain from voting.
Yeah, at this point, at this stage in the bracket, I would agree. I'll probably abstain from voting. But congrats to Wannable on to the enticing eight. The other six polls are in the field. Two of them only have a few hours left. Four of them you have until Wednesday morning to get your vote in on Twitter at ESPN Madison, at Lake Louie Beers for the Badger Club Burger Bracket. I had a burger in a Badger Club yesterday, Hunter. It was delicious. Love a good Badger Club. So anyway, just figured I'd throw that out. That was at home. It wasn't at any of the locations. But I know rumor has it we may be attending a location here.
Yeah, either figuring that out. So. Yeah, but I'm excited. I love a good burger. Yeah, and to get to go and try some of these other Madison ones. I know I said it at the beginning of this, but I've been in Madison now for 3 years,
yeah,
and I have not been to nearly as many restaurants as I would like.
We got to work on
it. So, yeah, this is a great chance for me to work on it, and I absolutely love a good burger. So I'm so excited to do this and for you to get to have some Badger Club while I try burgers. It's great.
Fantastic. Yeah, that is where we're at on the Badger Club Burger Bracket. Again, you can check it out on Twitter, X at ESPN Madison or at Lake Louie Beers. All right, you learn something new every day, as did I. It's time to wrap up the show with what Strofe learned. And it is official. Jason Kelce retiring after 13 seasons in Philadelphia, the star center. Six times in his 13-year career, he was an All-Pro, which is absolutely unbelievable. Super Bowl champ. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer as he retires this morning from the Philadelphia Eagles. I didn't know he was a six-time All-Pro. That's what I learned. But now what we are going to learn together is which media outlet snags him up. Because he is without a doubt going to be a star broadcaster in some capacity, whether that's a studio guy, whether that's an analyst role, or if that is an actual analyst role within the game on Sundays. Jason Kelce will be working in media in no time, and I imagine every network has an open invitation to him. So I'm incredibly intrigued to see what his next step is. But an unbelievable career in Philadelphia, goes out in rough fashion, though. They were 10-1 at one point in that season and make a first-round exit in the wild-card round, super wild-card round. But Jason Kelce retires from the Philadelphia Eagles after 13 years. Hell of a career by him, and obviously made his mark even more so this postseason, attending Travis Kelce's games, ripping his shirt off in Buffalo, chugging beers, wearing a luchador mask after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, and partying with Marshmello the DJ. The dude rocks. He's one of the coolest guys involved in the NFL in any capacity. So really cool to see him go out, and excited to see what's next for him.
I have a guess, and this is with zero insider knowledge, but I have a feeling, you know, the four letters, actually it's up there twice behind you over your shoulder, the ESPN is going to make a big push, because I think for them, the idea of having Pat McAfee and the Kelces for their podcasting and their shows and their coverage.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Those guys are looking like they're the future of NFL analysts, and I think that might be the direction that at least ESPN tries to go.
I would just like to reset. That is pure speculation,
yes,
by Hunter.
I have zero knowledge at all. Like, I'm the biggest idiot in the world.
Well, no, you work with me, so.
Yeah, but, you know, the comment section has made it clear that they feel as though I'm an idiot. So I'm just embracing it. I'm all in on it.
Fair.
But if I had to guess, I would think that Disney and ESPN is going to go after those two hard, because I just don't see anybody else being able to kind of give them everything that they could get. So
we'll all find out together. All right, back with you Wednesday. Will the Bucks winning streak remain, or will I be right? Will they lose on March 4th?
What happens first?
Oh, I like where this is headed.
The Badgers win a game or the Bucks lose a game?
I'm going to give it the Bucks lose a game. I think they lose tonight. No, I don't. I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't
exactly
make up my mind. I'm going to say the Bucks lose a game prior to the Badgers winning a game. Because, hold on, we got to look at the schedule then. Because the Bucks, I think, play two games before the Badgers play on Thursday against Rutgers. I think the Bucks play tonight and Wednesday. So I think just given the sheer odds, I will say the Bucks lose a game first. Yeah, they play at the Warriors on Wednesday and then at the Lakers on Friday. So I would guess,
they're beatable. They're all beatable.
Could the Bucks go Clippers win at Warriors win, lose at the Lakers Friday, just depending on what the Badgers do on Thursday?
Maybe.
I'm going to say the Bucks lose before the Badgers win another game. Because I don't know if the Badgers are winning on Thursday. That makes me really nervous. Big Ten tournament next week? Oh, baby, we're going to have a lot to break down. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks to Jesse Nelson. Thanks to Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn for keeping us on the air, making us sound good, look good. Appreciate all of you watching along on ESPN Madison's Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We do it each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, beginning at 12:30 up until about right now, 1:30, three times a week. If you missed any of the show and you want to catch it, available wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, etc. Make sure you rate us 5 stars. Give us a thumbs up on YouTube, and make sure you subscribe to be notified when we go live 3 times a week, back with you Wednesday to break down all things Hoops, Packers, and all the in-betweens right here on Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Groh. Peace.